Again, I'm very thankful to be here, very thankful for each and every one of you and for the desire you have to worship the Lord, and would ask continuation of your prayers. Very thankful for the public offering on our behalf for Brother Randall, and just ask that you would continue to pray for each other and for me as I try to stand before you. This morning, I want to try to preach on a subject that I've thought about a lot over the last couple of months, and not sure that I can put it in the right perspective that it might make a difference in our lives and really affect the hearts of the Lord's people. But the subject on my mind this morning is sacrifice. It's a subject that's taught throughout the Bible from very early on to through the Old Testament and through the New Testament. And we want to see what these sacrifices meant and really want to study how that applies to us today. Unfortunately, as I've talked to many ministers, and not only Primitive Baptists, the unwillingness to sacrifice in our life today, I believe, is a testimony to the decline in Christianity, the decline of church attendance. You know, sacrifice is actually a part of our life daily. We all make sacrifices for someone. Sometimes we make good sacrifices, and sometimes we make bad sacrifices. And let me tell you what a bad sacrifice is. When you're willing to sacrifice the good that you could do for someone else, the time that you might give to your child, to your friend, to your neighbor, you've made a sacrifice, and you sacrifice them for the benefit of yourself. You see, when you make a sacrifice in life, somebody benefits from that sacrifice, do they not? Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice, and we sit here today as the beneficiaries of his ultimate sacrifice. When you and I make a sacrifice in life, it benefits someone. Oftentimes when we sacrifice our time or good or whatever it might be for someone else, we are sacrificing that we might benefit ourselves, that we might please ourselves. You know, the Bible talks of pagan sacrifices and idol worship. Oftentimes, if we're not careful, we make ourselves an idol. We become so important, we think our way is right. We'll sacrifice the peace of a church, peace of our families, the peace of our friendships. Many things we will sacrifice for our own cause. And an unwillingness to make sacrifices for the good of the whole is something I believe that we are vastly losing in this country. You can read numbers of books by authors who talk about in the Western culture, individualism has taken over. And there's no doubt in my mind that that is the truth. It's not about the good of the whole. It's about me, myself, and I oftentimes. When we think about the early times in this country and the great sacrifices that those men made when they fought for the independence of the United States of America, that you and I could stand here today and fully enjoy the freedom and the liberty that we have, they made great sacrifices for the good of everyone that's here today. We are the beneficiaries of the great sacrifices those men made that we might have the freedom and liberty to enjoy today that we have. Great sacrifices were made. These were prominent men, rich men. It didn't matter what they had. Their willingness to do for the whole was amazing. I believe we've lost some of that. Individualism has come into play in this country to such a degree that making a sacrifice for the whole or for the benefit of the whole is not important to some people, to a lot of people. Most books that you read today about the so-called culture, whether it be marriage or whatever it is, talks about this idea of individual rights, individualism. You can study the cultures around the world, and there are cultures even today that are a lot more involved with family. They're a lot more concerned about family than they are about self. And this is where I believe we've evolved in this country. I believe that the willingness to make a sacrifice is a testimony or a measurement of the spirituality of God's people in this country. Doesn't matter what church they attend. It's a spirituality. You can talk to any minister about any church, and the spirituality of this country is not what it once was. We have seemed to been driven away from that point, unwilling to make a sacrifice, more desiring for the fulfillment of our own desires and our own wishes. You know, sometimes when you make a sacrifice for someone, it does your heart good. You know, and there's little sacrifices that you make every day. How many sacrifices have you made for your children or your grandchildren? You know, if you don't make those sacrifices, sometimes as life goes on, you end up in a situation where things are not too pleasant. What kind of sacrifice would you be willing to make that you would have the best relationship with your child until the day you die? Is there anything that you wouldn't do to try to help that child to make that relationship? Sacrifices are a part of life, whether we believe it or not. Sometimes we sacrifice even our own friends and our own children for our own good, that we might benefit, that we might be right. And really, when we begin to look at this is a sin of pride. Pride rears its ugly head in our life time and time again. And sometimes we have an unwillingness to make that sacrifice. Now, I want to begin, and we'll continue to touch on this as we go along. Sacrifice began over in Genesis chapter 4. It says in verse 3, "And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of the flock, of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth." He was mad, didn't like it, and his countenance fell. Now, we're not here this morning to discuss so much the respect of these two offerings, but we find here, even before the law of Moses was given, that there was an offering made unto the Lord. Now, the Bible teaches us about pagan offerings, and there were times in pagan religions that they offered their own children and burned them on an altar to these pagan gods. You know, I will argue that when we sacrifice our time or our good for someone else to please ourselves, we're sacrificing to an idol, and that idol is ourself. You know, most of us don't want to consider that, but I tell you, I'm guilty of it. I'll tell you right now, I am. You know, Jesus said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." We make an idol out of self oftentimes in life, whether we want to admit to it or not. We're more concerned about our way than we are the good of the whole. You see, back when this country was founded, there's absolutely no way we can understand the purpose at hand. It was for the whole. They was under religious persecution in England, and they fought, and many men lost their lives, laid down their lives, sacrificed their lives so you and I could be the beneficiaries of this great freedom and liberty, religious freedom and liberty that we have today. We are still benefiting from what those men did. And God have mercy upon us that we continue to have those benefits. But things have evolved in this country, and they've changed. People have become very consumed with their self. You know, the Bible tells us, and we'll get there in a little bit, but all the law and the commandments of God are condensed down to two, and the basis of those two commandments are love. They cover it all. Loving God first and foremost with all that you have, and your neighbor as yourself. And that should be the driving force in our life in every aspect and every sacrifice that we offer. If it's not, we're not concerned about the whole. You've known people in your life. I've known people in my life that don't care about the body. They don't care about the group. They don't care about the whole as you would. They care about their self. And they're willing to take that down regardless of what happens because they want their way. We've seen it in times past. We see it happening today. This is the nature of man in his carnal flesh, to please and fulfill his own wishes and his own desires at any cost. But the Bible calls upon us to be people that sacrifice. We're to be living sacrifices, as the New Testament tells us, and we'll get there. But one thing I want you to notice about these sacrifices that were originally given, it's the law of first fruit given. And one of the things that we learn here is that Abel's was the firstborn. It was the best of the flock. Now, we don't sacrifice animals. We don't sacrifice goats and sheep and cattle today. But there's a lesson in that for us. Abel brought the best that he had. And the lesson in first fruits giving or offerings is you give unto God your best. You give God your best effort. You give God your best time. You give God the best of everything in your life. That's the lesson that we need to remember there. Also, this was a voluntary offering. The word that here is translated in from the Hebrew as offering means voluntary. We should voluntarily offer unto God the best that we have. The best of our time, the best of our ability, the best of our effort. And sometimes to do that, we have to make sacrifices. You see, I believe we live in a time that people are willing to sacrifice long as it doesn't inconvenience them. Long as it doesn't step on their toes and get in the way of what they want to do. We're all that way. Many things that we want to do, we live in a time that serving the Lord Jesus Christ is a time of convenience. If it's convenient, we'll go do it. That's not a sacrifice. You know, the Bible tells me, and I was reading an article from a man, he says the more precious, the more near and dear something is to your heart, when you sacrifice that, the more valuable it is unto God. God is not interested in quantity. He's interested in quality. Think about it for a minute. He's interested in quality. He's interested in you making a sacrifice for the benefit of someone else, to the glory of His holy and righteous name. You know what said in that song we sang earlier this morning, that we're to offer up praise to God. The Bible tells us that over in Hebrews 13. There are many ways that we can make sacrifices unto God, but we ought to give God our best. You know, one thing we can understand by the teachings of this, you know, we can give God our secondhand material, can we not? They could have went out with the cattle, the goats, the sheep, and looked over there and said, you know, we got one lamb over here. He's a runt. He's lame. I'll give him to the Lord. He's not making me any money. He's not benefiting. That's not a sacrifice, brothers and sisters. In that day, the Lord said, you sacrifice the best that you have. Something that is precious to you, near and dear to you. Sometimes we have to sacrifice our own feelings, our own pride, a sin that Proverbs tells us rears up in man time and time again. We're filled with the sin of pride. We want our way at all cost. But are we willing to make a sacrifice for the good of the whole body, for the good of our entire family, for the good of a relationship with a good friend or a neighbor? What kind of sacrifices are you willing to make? Now, we begin to look at the next sacrifice. We don't see that mentioned again until we get over to the 8th chapter after the great flood. Many of us know that as Noah's flood. In verse 21, it says, or verse 20, it says, and Noah built an altar. This is after the flood and dry land had appeared unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. We find again that there was a great time span, but you're going to find that the idea of sacrifice is woven throughout Scripture. And it's an important to each and every one of us, even in the New Testament era. The Apostle Paul said that we were to present our bodies a living sacrifice, and we'll speak more on that as we go along. We find that the first time the word sacrifice is actually used, and we'll is in the 31st chapter, and we'll speak of that. But we want to go to the 22nd chapter of Genesis now and talk about a different type of sacrifice than we've seen up to this point. Cain brought the fruit of the ground. Abel, he brought the fruit or the firstlings of the flock. Now, when I begin to think about first fruit giving and the giving of something that was the best, I even thought about the days of my grandfather and many of y'all in here who picked cotton by hand. You know, they would pick cotton several times because the bottom bowls, which were the first bowls that come up on a cotton plant, they opened first. First of all, they were the best bowls. They had the most grams or weight of cotton in there, the best lint. They were the best. As you got to the top of the plant, there was not near as much cotton in a bowl. A lot of times the quality of that cotton was not near as good. That's the idea that you need to understand about giving the best and it being voluntarily given unto the Lord. We're told to give the best of our ability, the best of our effort, that the Lord our God is to be first in our life. There needs to be a willingness to make a sacrifice. No matter what it costs you, if it doesn't cost you anything, you haven't made a sacrifice. If you don't lose something, you hadn't made a sacrifice. If we can just give away something every day that everybody else gives away, we've not made a sacrifice. The Bible tells us that what really is a sacrifice is to part with something that is precious to you. And it may be your idealism. It may be the way that you conduct your life with others, the way that you treat others. Are you willing to make that sacrifice for the good of that friendship or that relationship? We ought to be. But as we go on here in chapter 22, we find that it's a different type of sacrifice. Up to this point, it was animals, cattle, goats, sheep. And now Abraham is called upon to sacrifice or offer his only son. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. He didn't tempt him with temptation. He tried him. He tested him to see if he was faithful and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now this is very interesting. This is the only time that I know of that God called upon a man to offer his son as a burnt offering. And Abraham went to the point of pulling out his knife to slay this son before the angel of the Lord appeared and stopped him. But I want us to think about this sacrifice from another place, how it got there and what it meant to Abraham and how it might have an effect on us and how we deal with folks. You know, Sarah and Abraham were promised a son. Years rolled on, they went by, no son came. This promise continued on. Sarah lost her patience. She did. She lost her patience. She got tired of waiting, so she decided she'd take matters into her own hand. Sound familiar? Have we ever done that in our lives? God doesn't bring justice in our lives. God doesn't deal with vengeance on others in a right time frame. So we've decided, as Sarah did, that we're not waiting on the Lord anymore. We'll handle this ourselves. So she went out and she got Abraham, or her own handmaiden, Hagar. She told her husband Abraham to lie with this handmaiden, that she would get him to make her pregnant, if you would, and she would bear a son, and she would raise this son. She was going to get her a son one way or the other, was she not? God never failed to keep his promise. He never told them that they wouldn't have a son. But she ran out of patience. She decided to go out on her own and bring about this son of her own power and her own strength. Now in Romans chapter 12, this is not about a son, but I want you to think about this for a minute. The Bible says, Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. When things are not going your way, when God has not dealt with someone in the time frame that you think they should have, and God may never even deal with them. Maybe they don't need dealt with. But regardless of that, we're to put those matters in the hands of the only true and living God. That's Scripture. That's not my teaching. That is the teachings of Almighty God. We're to deal with those issues by laying them at the feet of Jesus and letting Him take care of them. But oftentimes, we run out of patience, do we not? We decide that we're tired of waiting on God. God said, I'll repay if repayment needs made, if payment needs to be remade. In other words, if there's any vengeance to be had, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. He didn't say, I'll set up a TV screen over here where you can watch me bring vengeance on someone. But he said, if it's necessary, I'll take care of it. And he will. He promises that. What he tells you and I to do is to overcome evil with good. That means that no matter how someone treats you, no matter where someone gets what they got coming to them, at least in your eyes, you're to leave it in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the only true and righteous judge that there is. You and I cannot judge righteousness like the Lord. He didn't put us here to judge righteousness. He put us here for one purpose, and that's to serve and to worship him together in love and in purity as the body of Christ. That's our purpose on this earth, to glorify his holy and righteous name. You see, Sarah got tired of waiting, so she took matters into her own hands. Oftentimes, we get tired of waiting, so when somebody don't get what's coming to them, or at least in our mind, they don't get what's coming to them, we take matters in our own hands. We go out and we do whatever's necessary to disrupt things, to try to get things to be the way we want them. That's when sin, the pride of sin, pride is a terrible sin, it rears its ugly head, and that's when we decide we're going to get what we want the way we want it. We're going to bring that about. And we've all been guilty of that. I know I have. This is what I believe. I'm bound to be right. It's hard not to have that attitude because that's our natural way of thinking. You know, it happens in families. It happens in churches. It happens in organizations. You know, a lot of times the biggest concern people have is about being right and getting their way. You know, it's the me, myself, and I syndrome. Jesus said if you're going to truly be his disciple, you can't be it unless you deny yourself. You know, you got to bite your tongue. You got to make a lot of sacrifices in life that's hard to make. And that's why they're sacrifices, because they're not easy to make. Any sacrifice that's truly a sacrifice doesn't come easy. It's hard. But we find here that they had waited all these years. Sarah's 90 years old. Abraham's 99 years old. And believe it or not, Sarah becomes pregnant with a child that God had promised them all along. But Sarah had a hard time waiting. She was going to bring justice in her own way. You know, sacrifice is what life is all about. We're so often willing to make sacrifices for our children. We'll go the extra mile, the extra 10 miles. We'll make sacrifices for our husbands and our wives. But I ask you today, what are you willing to sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe this is a question that every one of us need to ask ourselves. What will I give up for the cause of Christ and for the furtherance of his kingdom? Will I give up anything? Will I only give up that is convenient? That doesn't hinder what I want to do? Because in life we have a lot of hindrances, don't we? I know I do. I feel certain that you may have too. It's hard to give up and do the right thing. The Bible says in the 13th chapter of Hebrews to do good and to communicate, and that means to distribute, is a sacrifice in which God is well pleased. When you do good unto someone, if you take the time to be with someone, it's a sacrifice, and it's well pleasing unto the Lord. You know, that's one problem we have raising our children. Sometimes we come home, we're tired and we're wore out. It's been a long, hard day. And we're unwilling to sacrifice some rest time or other time to be with our children. You can never get that time back. It's the most precious thing your child will ever have, is the time you spend with them. They'll never forget it. They'll always remember it. And if you don't spend that time with them, they will always remember that. They remember what you didn't do as well as what you did do. And it takes some sacrifices. You know, we can fool one another, and oftentimes we do, but we can't fool the Lord. He knows the very hairs upon your head. He knows how many you have. He knows the very thoughts in your mind and in your heart. And we can't hide a thing from the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows the condition of our families, our children. He knows the condition of our churches, the organizations that we're members of, the neighbors that live next door to us. He knows all that. There's nothing that's not open and naked before the eyes of Almighty God. He knows it all. So you may fool me and you may fool your neighbor, but you're not fooling the Lord. He knows. He knows it all. We find here that this sacrifice of a man, the only time I see it in the Old Testament, is a picture, a shadow of something better to come. The giving of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham willingly was going to give up his son. That's hard for me to understand right now. God commanded him. Isaac was likely in his late teens or early 20s. And God called upon Abraham to take that son and to offer him as a burnt offering. He had waited till he was 100 years old for this son. Can you imagine all the torment he went through? God had promised his son. Sarah got fed up with the wait, so she went out and tried to attempt to bring a son into their lives of her own power. But God was true and faithful to his promise. The son came. And now God's called upon Abraham to offer him up as a sacrifice. And Abraham didn't question God, did he? He willingly loaded up the wood with his servants and his son, and away he went to where God directed him. And I believe with all my heart that Abraham would have slew his son. You see, the Bible tells us that we are to love the Lord our God above everyone. That includes ourselves. To love God with all that you have, with your heart, with your mind, with your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The entirety of God's law and all his commandments hang on the balance of two commandments that are rooted in God's love. Love that you and I have. You know, love is the most important thing in the Bible. Love will hide, as it says, a multitude of sin. We're told over in the book of Peter. But here this man is, he'd waited so long for this son, his only begotten son, picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he's got to go offer him as a burnt sacrifice. Two other things that we notice here that have reference to Jesus Christ. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. She was found to be pregnant, conceived, and she had never been with a man. Joseph didn't believe her at first until he had a vision from the angel of the Lord, but that was the case. I tell you today, the miracle of Sarah becoming pregnant is almost as great as the miracle of Mary becoming pregnant. I ask you today, how many 90-year-old women do you know that have gotten pregnant and delivered a child? I don't believe there's anybody in this congregation can say I do. You might not want to rate it there, but this was a miraculous event by the Holy Ghost or by God himself upon Sarah. And it had reference to the Immaculate Conception in Mary. These were two miraculous events that only could come to pass by God. But let's think about waiting on the Lord and sacrificing our patience, you might say. Sarah run out of patience. Sometimes we do when we deal with our brothers and sisters or with our family members. We run out of patience, and we blow our steam and we say things. We need to sacrifice our pride and the problems that come along with it. Now, as we begin to move toward the New Testament, we find that there's a contrast. In the New Testament, we're dealing with living sacrifices. The Bible tells us that God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus Christ is not dead. He provided us a new and living way. He's alive today and well. But in the Old Testament, those sacrifices were dead. They were killed, never to be brought back again. That's the contrast we see. But they were a picture and a shadow that pointed to that ultimate, perfect, pure, and sinless sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of them was a picture of that. And we'll look at that. We want to look at what that sacrifice meant to us and how it ought to affect us as we live here in this life. We go to Hebrews chapter 9. It says in Hebrews 9 and 12, it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. We're going to find in the New Testament that The sacrifice of that perfect and ultimate sacrifice was only offered once. But I want you to understand that Jesus offered himself unto God. He didn't offer himself unto the sinner. Not one time did he ever offer himself to the sinner. He offered himself unto God without spot, and God accepted his offer. It says, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled and unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God?" He didn't offer him to the sinner. He offered him to God, and God accepted his offer. And it was a full and complete offer. And what I mean was, he paid the full sin debt, the entire debt. It's paid off. It's paid in full. And it was complete. And when I say it's complete, I mean it was for the sins of your past, your present, and every sin you commit going forward. He paid it in full. The debt's been paid forever. And you've been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the sacrifice. And the grave couldn't hold him. It wasn't possible. And he's now seated at the right hand of God Almighty, making intercession for you and I. Gave us an avenue to bend down upon our knees and pray unto the God of heaven. What a sacrifice. Never been a sacrifice made like that before. But you know, Jesus didn't make that sacrifice out of duty. God didn't make that sacrifice out of duty. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We're going to find that God loved you and I so much that he sent his Son to die for us, that our sins were forgiven. And because of that and that only, one day we'll live in heaven with God. It's an amazing thing. It's a sacrifice unlike any other sacrifice that's ever been made. Jesus was pure and perfect and sinless. He stood where you and I should stand. He suffered what you and I should suffer. This man called Jesus, God in the flesh, took your sin upon him and suffered the eternal wrath of God forever in your place. Can you imagine a sacrifice any greater than that? And he done it all because he loved you that much. It's all based on how much he loved you. Not on how good you were. Not on what church you attended. Not on whether you got your way or you were the leader or whatever. He done it because he loved you in spite of all your sins and all your wrongs. What a Savior the Lord Jesus Christ is. What a sacrifice he made for you and I. What an example he has set that you and I should follow. He goes on over here, and we'll get a few verses out of chapter 10. Well, let's get to the 25th verse in 9. It says, "Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest." Now, I want to make just a few words about that. In the Old Testament, there were sacrifices that were made yearly. There were sacrifices that were made daily. There were numerous sacrifices if you read the book of Leviticus. But this man offered himself one time for our sins, and he put an end to the debt. He completed what the Father sent him to do. When he rose from that grave, our sins were forgiven on the cross of Calvary, and he didn't offer himself time and time again. That's what took place in the Old Testament. They had to offer daily to atone for the sins. But the next day, they needed a new atonement, a new offering. It says, "Nor that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then he must have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world," get that, the end of the world. A lot of people get confused when it says the end of the world. That's the end of the Jewish law service. That's what that world was. The end of the Jewish law service. The end of those animal sacrifices. That sprinkling of blood upon the altar, or the whole sacrifice being burned upon the altar. It was the end of that with Jesus Christ. He put an end to it. The end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. By himself and himself alone, he put away our sins. Every one of them. Past, present, and future. It's a sacrifice that ought to drive our lives every day. It ought to mean more to us than anything. But we know that throughout the course of history, that as things have evolved in nations among God's people in the Old Testament, apathy set in, unwillingness to make sacrifices on the behalf of Jesus Christ and the people. It's not something new in the age that we live in. You know, Solomon made it clear there's nothing new under the sun. What's been is coming to be, and what we're doing now will pass forth in the future if the world continues. There's nothing new under the sun. He goes on down here and he says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. What you must understand is, to go to heaven, you got to be perfect. And I would ask anybody in this congregation or anywhere in this world to raise their hand if they think they're perfect. You are only perfect as Jesus Christ sees you, as God sees you through the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been made perfect. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We are perfect in the eyes of God because of Jesus Christ, not because of what we've done or we will do or we are doing, but of what Christ did. You know, when Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, I get better understanding of that the older I get. It's all about Him. It's not about us. Serving the Lord is not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. He created all things for His honor and for His glory. Read the fourth chapter of Revelation, verse 11, and you'll find that all things are and were created for His glory, for His power, for His honor. It wasn't for us. It's for Him. Life is about Him. It's not about us. Sometimes we get confused in that area of life, don't we? Life is not about us. Life is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does all this mean to us? The New Testament deals with living sacrifices. The Apostle Paul, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God. You notice Paul didn't command us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. He begged us by the mercies of God. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Our willingness to make the sacrifices necessary to serve God, to walk in His way, to the furtherance of His kingdom, is a manifestation of how much you really love God. And I hate to even go there with myself, because it really is. Our willingness to sacrifice things in this life that are so near and dear and precious to us is a manifestation of how much we really love God. I didn't say it was easy, but that's what the Bible teaches. An acceptable sacrifice to God is one that always puts the Lord God first. Christ is infinitely above every creature that He created. That includes us. And He deserves our love. That's why the two commandments given in Matthew chapter 22 are all based on God's love. And the first one is to love the Lord thy God more than your children, more than your husband, more than your wife, more than anyone. And I'll tell you, I know a man that did that, and that's Brother George. And his family knows it. And he loved his family. God doesn't say don't love your family. He says over in Luke chapter 14, you're to hate your wife. But what he's teaching us is by nature, we're to love our kids. We're to love our parents. We're to love our husbands and wife. But anytime you love them more than you love the Lord thy God, we're in the wrong place. Our love's in the wrong place. And Brother George loved the Lord more than anyone that I've ever known. And I'll tell you what, he loved his children and his family as much as anyone I ever knew. But I'll tell you, God rested above all of them. And that's how it's supposed to be. And when God comes first in your life, you will make a sacrifice, whatever it is. You won't sacrifice the peace of the church. You won't sacrifice the peace of your family. You'll put those things in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him deal with them. You will sacrifice your pride and your desires and your wants in this life, because we all have them. We all have a tendency to believe that we're right. The only one that's truly right is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It's not about our way. There is no other way but Jesus Christ. He is the way, the only way. And His teachings are the only way. And we ought to be willing to make whatever sacrifice is necessary. The Bible tells us that we ought to give the Lord our best. Our best effort, our best time, the best of our money, the best of the quality of our everything. You should put the Lord thy God first. If you're putting anyone in your family, any friend, any neighbor, any idol in this life, anything that you do ahead of the Lord, you're not loving the Lord with all your substance, with all your being. You love other things more than you love the Lord. And that's not easy to say, but that's what the Bible tells us. Anything, He's to be first and foremost in our lives. That's an acceptable sacrifice. When things don't go our way, we put them in the hands of Jesus. Jesus is properly equipped to take care of things that you and I are not. Generally, when we take things in their own hand like Sarah, we make a bigger mess out of them than we bring good out of it. You know, there was a child born, Ishmael, and she cast him and his mother out as soon as Isaac was born. But she should have waited on the Lord. She run out of patience like we do a lot of times. We take matters in our own hand and we're going to fix them for God. But I tell you what, we're all better off if we sacrifice our pride that so rears its ugly head in our lives so often. That's the first sin spoken of in Proverbs chapter 6, the sin of pride. And we all have trouble with that. I know I do, and I'm pretty sure everyone does it from time to time in their life. We need to sacrifice that. It says to do good and to communicate. That means to distribute. Do good unto others. Give to those that need. Those are sacrifices in which God is well pleased. But I want to tell you, we don't sacrifice out of duty. You're not going to get the blessing out of it if that's what you're doing. It's got to be out of the love that you have for Jesus Christ above the love of anything else on this earth. When the Lord said that if you put your husband or your wife or your children ahead of Him, He says you're not worthy. He said He didn't cast you out, but you're not worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's to be our first love above all things in this life. And sometimes we as a people have a hard time swallowing that, don't we? We see our children, our husbands, and our wives on a daily basis, and we don't visually see the Lord, so how could we love Him more? The Bible tells us to love the Lord with all our substance. And one way you manifest that love is you make the necessary sacrifices in life for the furtherance of His kingdom, for the church, for your family. You put them first. You sacrifice your pride. You sacrifice being tired. You know, some people won't do anything because they're tired and they're wore out. We're all tired and we're all wore out. You know, that's the thing that amazed me about Brother George. He was never too tired and he was never too wore out to go do for someone else. He sacrificed his health and his life for the good of someone else. Why are we not willing to do that? I've had a hard time with it in my life. And it's something that I need to study out every day and think about every day, because our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. We're all here today, but we're going to be gone tomorrow. We're all caught up in this life that's truly meaningless to a great extent. It's just a little bitty period of time in eternity. We won't be here long. I'm going to close with some verses back over in the book of Leviticus. I believe the Bible establishes that we're to voluntarily offer sacrifices unto the Lord, whatever it takes for the good of God's people, for the good of the church, for the good of your family. It may be even biting your tongue and putting up with things that you don't like. But maybe they're right and you're wrong. That's what I got to tell myself. Maybe they're right and I'm wrong, because it's real possible. I'm not infallible. I'm not God and I'm not perfect in all that I do. I have my opinions and we all have them, but they're just opinions. In Leviticus chapter 1, in verse 2, it says, "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If this offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish." Here again, it points to giving up the best of what you like in life. It may be a time every day that you rest that you could go see someone else. What kind of sacrifice are you willing to make? Do we take heart to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us? I don't know. We all know what we could give up. We all know what we could sacrifice in our life for the cause of God and for the furtherance of His kingdom. He says here, without blemish. That's pointing to the best that we have. Maybe something that is so precious and dear to you, you don't think you can give it up. But the Bible says we can. He goes on and he says, "He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle." That's the key to a living sacrifice spoken of in the New Testament. God's not interested in sacrifices that we feel we've got to do out of duty. You know, I thought about the military. We have a military today that is completely voluntary. In this military, these people volunteer to serve our country, and many of them have put their lives in harm's way. They've sacrificed their lives that we might continue to enjoy this freedom. But regardless of that, when I grew up in high school, they entered the draft when I was 18 years old, right before I had to sign up. I was thankful for that. Many men went over there, and it wasn't of their own free will. It wasn't voluntary. But they still sacrificed their lives, and many men lost their lives. What I'm telling you here is they were commanded in the Old Testament to make a lot of sacrifices, but there were voluntary, free will sacrifices, and I believe that points to the sacrifices you and I are to make in this life in the New Testament era. We're to be a living sacrifice, and we're to offer up sacrifices that are acceptable to God. And being acceptable to God is manifest in the fact that loving Him takes a priority in all things in your life. He comes first. You give your best of whatever you have in service to the Lord. You do right by your family. One of the biggest things that every one of us have to give up is self. And it's a hard thing to give up. We love ourselves. We think highly of ourselves. We count on ourselves. We do everything self wants to if we ain't careful. Self is a great hindrance to us in serving God. It's a great hindrance to us in relationships and families, in churches. Self is a real problem. May God bless us to offer up sacrifices as living sacrifices, as living children, His children, that are holy and acceptable unto Him. He says it's just our reasonable service. There's nothing hard about it. Let us put God first in our life every day. Let us sacrifice whatever it is that hinders our life, hinders our relationships, hinders things in the church, whatever it might be. Because serving the Lord Jesus Christ honestly is the most important thing that we'll ever do in our lives. To walk His way and to glorify His name. May God bless you.